Well, good morning to each of you. It is a blessing to be here this morning and to reflect on a week, as Brian and Brent mentioned, and hopefully you're all feeling exhausted but energized, and that was our experience, exhausted but energized. And I will say this as well, last night was a little stressful, being the one in charge and calling the singing team and arranging everything, and I maybe showed some signs of stress in that time of decision making. But I stand amazed as I reflect on that, as well as all the brothers spoke into, and I really appreciated when brothers came and just gave suggestions, and we just kind of together just put together what we felt the Lord was leading, and it flowed quite well. And I know, Brian, you came to me, and we were standing right in the step here, and the sun came out, and you were just strongly encouraging it should be outside, and I was so thankful for that. It was just good outside, and that was a decision that was made on the steps there, and brothers speaking together and helping and assisting, and everyone working together, that was a blessing. It is also a blessing to prepare a message and be able to preach it. So this week, and it has been my experience throughout the years of Bible school, not knowing if you have a class, and I should, it would be good for everyone to prepare a lesson and just, if there's a class there. And so what I'm doing this morning is using the first lesson we had for Bible school as our sermon this morning, the wonderful story in the Bible of the Good Samaritan. And I had studied that Monday night, and there was no class here, and so I built upon that, and I thought it would be very fitting for us this morning to end the week of Bible school, and I titled the message, Living as Good Samaritans. What a wonderful story in the Bible. It's a parable, but it is so rich. It is such a wonderful, powerful story of how it is to live the Christian life and to follow Jesus Christ. I want you to think of a time when you felt that you were going through a hard time in your life, a very hard time in your life, and you felt like somebody really was there and cared for you, and how good that felt. And then possibly going through a season of life where you didn't feel someone was there to show compassion, and you didn't feel freedom to share what you were going through for whatever reason. And we probably all can go to areas and times in our life like that. And I want to share one time in my experience that I had a dream. Now, I don't believe that every one of my dreams is God speaking to me. Don't take that. But I do believe that sometimes God can speak to you in a dream. And I was going through a very difficult time in my life. It was very hard to talk about and share. And my wife and I went through it together. We were going through something together. And in my dream, I saw a brother. He came to me in my dream. And he was standing there. And he was just talking to me so caring and loving, and I almost have to cry as I share this story, but it just felt so good. And he was telling me what I should do, and what he was giving me some advice. And he turned to go, and I went after him, and I said, can you just stay here for a little bit? And I just fell on his shoulders, and I began to cry, and I began to tell him how good that felt. And then he left, and it was a dream. And I woke up in tears and shared it with my wife. And I share that story because I believe God sent that brother in a dream for me to to show that, yes, sometimes we go through seasons of life and we need a good Samaritan. And we're going to get into the story. Those of you who taught, this may be a little bit of a repeat, but we can look at this again. And the Good Samaritan was there for a person who was laying along the side of the road, wounded, beaten, stripped, and half dead. Half dead, it says. He wasn't dead, he was half dead. So you can see a little bit of how urgent it was. And we, those of you who know the story in the Bible, the Good Samaritan is a Good Samaritan for a reason, because he followed the Lord and he was filled with compassion and he really stopped and got down beside the man who was half dead. And sometimes we can go through life, you know, sometimes if someone has a broken leg and comes into church on crutches, we know that he's in a cast and he has a broken leg and he has crutches, and we sometimes respond readily to a need like that, but sometimes emotionally we can be as hurting and on crutches and nobody really knows. And so I just want to just start with that, and then we go into the story of the Good Samaritan, and the title is Living Like Good Samaritans, and the text is in Luke chapter 10, is where we find the text of the Good Samaritan. And it begins with a lawyer who asked Jesus two questions. And I want to start right there in verse 25, Luke chapter 10. And it says, and behold, a certain lawyer. Now, lawyers understand the law. Lawyers are sharp, sometimes shrewd. This lawyer, I think, was maybe a better lawyer. He knew the law, but he was a lawyer who stood up and tempting Jesus, saying, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus responds with a question. So that's the first question that we have from the lawyer. He has two questions, and then Jesus responds by saying, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" In verse 27, he answered and said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And he said unto him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and you shall live." Now, Jesus was not promoting a works religion here. Do this, and you'll gain eternal life. But this is the law. And Jesus also said in another place that on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So if you understand this, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself, on these two pillars hang all the law and the prophets. And so this is the gospel in a nutshell. It is really a relationship experience with God, loving God. And if you love God with all your heart and experience salvation, you'll love your neighbor as yourself. And the lawyer responds to that, justifying himself in verse 29. He was willing to justify himself. And here goes a lawyer again. He's trying to trick up Jesus. And Jesus comes out with a story that stops his mouth, I believe. So he tries to justify himself and says, "Well, who is my neighbor?" And so Jesus wisely responds with the parable of the Good Samaritan. And that's the context that I want to start with. First of all, the two questions that he asked Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And people have questions. And I believe many people are questioning What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to receive salvation? And all of these questions, and I believe he was asking this, wrestling possibly with this question himself. What must I do? And how can I be sure that I'm saved? And how can I be sure that I have salvation? And how can I be sure that I'm going to heaven? And I believe we all wrestle with that question. We want to know and make sure we have the truth. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And then he responds and points him to the law. Loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind is a relationship with God that we must experience. And loving your neighbor as yourself. And if we understand this, we enter into a perfect relationship, and I believe that we will be good Samaritans. And we will be not just religious people, but we will be people that really have compassion and love, the love of God in our hearts. And Jesus said to him, "You answered correctly. If you do this, you'll live." If you understand this principle, loving God with all your heart and loving your neighbor as yourself, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet. Herein is the gospel in a nutshell. Herein is described what it means to be a Christian and live out your faith. Practical Christian living is described, and you will enter into a relationship with God and be saved. It's not a work salvation, but it is a picture of what true salvation looks like. We do not believe in just a theology in our head. As I've said before, many will miss heaven by 18 inches. They have a lot of theology. They have a lot of Bible verses. Many people will know a lot of the Bible and never get to heaven because they miss it by 18 inches. It needs to enter into your heart. And you need to have a heart relationship with God. And that's really loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's a relationship with God that will be put to action, and you will love your neighbor as well. It will affect your neighbor. So this one gets a little hard to think about, your neighbors and those you work around and those that God puts into your life. But he begins to justify himself and says, well, really, who is my neighbor? And so we're going to pick up the story right there and unpack that and apply this to our lives in relationship to the Good Samaritan. In verse 30, he said, Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves and stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came a certain priest that went that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Jesus said, go and do likewise. There we have the parable of the Good Samaritan. So Jesus answered his question, who is my neighbor, with a parable or a story. And in this story is packed with truth and a wonderful picture of someone responding with the heart of God and with the love of God. Someone who really, truly had the love of God inside of his heart. It will motivate you to do something, and it will motivate you to action. And we see that in this story. It's not a works religion, but it is true living evangelical faith. Cannot lie sleeping. That was Menno Simon's words that he penned. And he was describing this true evangelical faith. It clothes the hungry and it feeds the hungry and it clothes the naked and it responds to the ones in the world that are half dead. And it was just, yes, such a blessing to go through a week like we did. And last night was such a blessing, and to be able to minister and to respond in that way as a church. I believe it's what true salvation looks like, is when we have the love of God in our hearts and we really love our neighbors like we do ourselves. So I always enjoy when we have a night like that last night. We call it fun night, and it is a fun night, and it is a rewarding night. It's for everyone to come together and enjoy a night together and have singing and fellowship. And I always like to see a church that I watch. And I stress this, and I think you heard me say this. I watch this, and I think if we're successful, it's when I see the church engaging. If I see the church all together, then we miss the point. But when I see the church engaging and we're talking and everyone together, a whole community is coming together, and we see a church that's engaging. And it's wonderful church life, but a night like that, that's our whole purpose and goal, is to show the love of Christ and be the hands and feet of Jesus and just have a wonderful experience together. And I saw that happening. And I want to encourage you in that. It's really true Christianity. And so the story here begins with the story of one who was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, I would love to walk that road. I saw, we got to see a portion of that road, a short path from Jerusalem to Jericho. You may know and remember and sang the song on the Jericho Road. There's room for just two. No more and no less, just Jesus and you. And if you see the Jericho Road, you'll know what that song means. There's room for two. And it's through the rugged mountainous path. And so there's areas in there that you might see thieves hiding. And that's why Jesus used the Jericho Road. There was a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. Not that I want to fall among thieves. I would just like to walk the Jericho Road and not fall into this trap. But that's the story Jesus used, the parable of a man who was walking the Jericho Road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among the thieves, and they came, and it says that they stripped him, they beat him, and they left him wounded and half dead. Now, this is a parable, but Jesus was describing and answering the question, who is my neighbor? And so, we live in a world where this is real. The devil, it says that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. While Jesus came that we might have life, and we might have it more abundantly. So the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And this is a picture of the world we live in, where there's many that are wounded. There's many that are searching for answers in life, and many that are falling prey to the devil. I was so touched last night by the young little boy who went up and stood with the family as they're singing. You all saw that little boy. He touched my heart, and I'm sure he touched your heart as well. He was wanting to be with the family, and he stood with the children, and he looked up and he tried to do the motions, and he sang with them, and he was just longing to be part of a family, and he touched my heart, because there's so many that are longing for family life. And I want to encourage everyone here, the children who have parents that are faithful to each other, children who grow up in a secure and loving home, all the children here, You know, I want you to remember and be thankful to the Lord that you've been given a great, great blessing. And you're placed in the minority in the world. There's so many in the world. They're just standing there longing for that. And so let's thank the Lord and appreciate and then know that we're called to a higher standard of living and we're to give this out to live as good Samaritans. We're going to get to the Good Samaritan. But the story defines what it means to love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And it means that we have compassion. Compassion is seeing what others ignore. So we have the priest and the Levite who saw, and the Good Samaritan all went by and they all saw the man laying there. They all saw, but only one responded with compassion in his heart. I don't know what the feelings were of the priest and the Levite, and those were the ones who should have had the true compassion of God in their hearts because they were serving in the temple and they were Jews rather than a Samaritan. And Jesus used the Samaritan here to describe the compassion that came from the heart of a Samaritan rather than the Jewish people. So love is, and compassion is, laying down our lives for the brethren. I'm guessing that many of you could quote by memory John 3:16. What a wonderful verse it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. John 3:16. Can anyone here quote by memory 1 John 3:16? Anybody? We know John 3:16, but I'm just curious. Does anyone know? And I want you to remember that. I remember Raymond Harnish years ago. He said, we know John 3:16, but we don't study 1 John 3:16. And we should know them both. Does anybody know it? Let's go to it. And I want you to memorize 1 John 3:16. And it's our responsibility. To have compassion and love. 1 John 3:16, it says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. So, we understand and perceive the love of God. He laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So it is true compassion and love is laying down your life for the others and having true compassion in your hearts. And he goes on to say that how can you really say that you have the love of God in your heart? How can you really say that you're a Christian? How can you really claim to be part of the family of God if you close your heart toward those that are in need, such as the man laying on the Jericho road? So I believe there is where we see the gospel in a nutshell, and true Christianity is laying down our lives for the brethren, laying down our lives for those that are half dead, laying down our lives and not only seeing the need, we're going to get to responding to it. Because all three, the priest, the Levite, and the Good Samaritan, all saw the man laying along the road, half dead, wounded, stripped, and robbed. In great need, and they passed right on by. It's hard to imagine someone passing on by. Someone that's dying. But Jesus is answering a question here, and he's doing a very good job. The lawyer's probably thinking this one through and processing this. He's a sharp man understanding the law, but Jesus takes him right to the heart of true Christianity. And he says, here it is. We want to get to the Good Samaritan. And we want to be Good Samaritans. And I love the Good Samaritan. There's a hospital in our area. I went to the hospital, Good Samaritan Hospital, and they named it Good Samaritan. And I like that. So the difference was not what they saw. They all saw the need, but the difference was what happened in their hearts. Two of them had no compassion or love in their hearts, and that's taught by Jesus in the story that they passed on by. They didn't even stop and get close and get bloody and get the oil out or whatever is needed and just start to care for the person that's dying. Many people in the world are hurting, beaten down, stripped, and wounded. And we are the people, we are the hands and feet of Jesus. And so having true compassion is engaging in the world in which we live. Engaging with the co-worker battling depression. And I've had, in my experience, people battle depression and on the point of suicide and really struggling deeply emotionally. And we need to be the hands and feet of Jesus that get involved and engage. Single parents carrying heavy burdens. The elderly neighbor who feels forgotten and is lonely. The student who is struggling with anxiety. And the family experiencing financial hardships and setbacks. And you can add to the list, but let's be good Samaritans as you think of the story of Jesus. So the questions to ask ourselves is, who is hurting around us? Have I become too busy to notice people's pain? What needs has God placed directly in front of me on the Jericho Road or wherever your road leads you? Compassion begins with awareness and seeing the needs around us. The second point is compassion takes action. In 1 John 3:16, it says, let's not love in word and thought, but in deed and truth. And it says, hereby we perceive the love of God, that Jesus laid down his life for us. Even so, we should lay down our lives for the brethren. How can we claim the love of God when we close our hearts toward those that are in need around us? And so, compassion and love and true Christianity takes action. It is not a works religion, but it is a faith that works. You cannot divorce faith and works. They must go together. Faith without works is dead, and works without faith is dead. But faith with works is powerful. And compassion, true compassion, takes action, and it produces a lifestyle. And there's plenty of work to do, as Brian said. There's work to do, and we have to set boundaries in that area as well. But compassion takes action. And I think it's a good feeling if you feel overwhelmed with work to do. Because there's so much preaching and teaching to be done. There's so much need in the world and our own families and our own lives, and there's work to do. We sing the song, "We'll work till Jesus comes." So compassion takes action. The Good Samaritan did more than feel sorry. He went to the injured man. He bandaged his wounds. He poured oil and wine on them. He put him on his animal. He took him to the inn. He paid for his care. And he said, I'll come back later and I'll pay future expenses. So he reached into his pocketbook. It cost him. He had care. Just, you see, a person who really cared And he said, this man needs help. This man needs a hospital. I remember one time a brother, Chuck Holloway. Some of you remember Chuck Holloway, but I took him to the hospital for hip surgery. And he didn't have family that cared for him. He didn't have anybody, so I took him to the hospital. And he had hip surgery, and a couple days later, he was ready to be come back home. And there he was, after hip surgery, into his home alone. And I still look back on that, and did I do enough? Been involved in some situations like that, and we have so much to be thankful for when we have family to call, and we have parents that are there, and we have friends in a church. We have so many resources, and we band together, and we care for each other. But if you walk with someone and have an experience like that, it is just... There's something that just touches your heart. Remember the funeral of Jeffrey Briggs when he died? There was nobody there that found him till days after he died, and three or four people that came, and we tried to plan that all. There's just no family there and no very few friends. And so some of those situations, we can only give so much, but... just having some of those experiences just remind us of the compassion and care that this man did right here. The Good Samaritan stopped. He took time. He got off. He cared for the man. He took him to the inn and he paid his bill. He gave his energy, his time, his resources, his convenience. And I believe that's what James is teaching. And the story of the Good Samaritan is teaching the truth that true faith works. And when you really love God, you care about the needs in the world. I know there's limits and there's boundaries. We're all tired now. And I'm not telling you to get out and keep on working. When we're done today, I'm going to rest. And I think we all should rest. And we take a week off. But you know, it's feeling, there's a sense of fulfillment to exert your energy into God's work. And let the results with the Lord. The Good Samaritan teaches us to move beyond words and into actions and take the time. And the rewards are coming. Your rewards are coming. They're eternal rewards. The next point is compassion crosses boundaries. And here's, I think, a lesson. The shocking part of this story is this hero in the story was a Samaritan. And I can think of two accounts and stories in the Bible where Jesus uses a Samaritan, because the Samaritans were a mixed breed of Samaritans, and they weren't true Jews. They were Jewish and I believe Assyrians that intermarried. And so they were a despised group, and they were set aside, and some of the Jews developed attitudes, and they kind of helped build walls and boundaries against them, and the Samaritans. And Jesus uses Samaritan. A good Samaritan was the one who did all this. It was a Samaritan who was the real hero. It was not the Jews. And sometimes, I believe, there will be real heroes outside of, yes, the known people groups of God's people. I think there's a lesson there for us as well, that we should not build walls and we should be able to cross boundaries like Jesus did. When he saw the Jewish woman and he said, "Give me a drink of water," I believe Jesus was crossing a boundary right there, and he cared and had compassion for the Samaritans. And she was surprised at that. "How can you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan?" And Jesus saying, "It doesn't matter. All nations and everyone, and we should be those people too. Cross boundaries. We do not have people groups that we hold at a distance, because..." Here we see, that's what happened here. The Samaritan is the one that crossed the boundary. Your neighbor is not someone from your own group who thinks and acts and looks like you, but it could be someone of a different culture. And so we have the love of God in our hearts for all people equally. So applications in that regards, God calls us to love all people and people beyond our own race and politics and social status and denominational differences and personal preferences, and the list could go on. I believe we need to also be able to cross boundaries and show the love of God to all people of the world, because Jesus loves all nations, and every kindred, tongue, and tribe will be around the throne. It is not just our people group, but it's all people. And we have this love of God that extends beyond our own people and into all peoples of the world. And I believe if you're true Christians, you'll have that love in your heart that you can minister and share with all people. As I mentioned, I love to see a church who is engaging in the lives of all who attend in Bible school and fun night and other ministry opportunities. So in conclusion, the Good Samaritan points us to the love of Jesus. When you read the story of the Good Samaritan, the parable of the Good Samaritan, we see Jesus, is really what we see. We see the heart of Jesus and who he was and is. We were wounded in sin, unable to save ourselves, broken, helpless. Many times we're in need, and Jesus saw our condition. He was the one, the Good Samaritan, who stopped and he saw our condition. He got down involved in our lives, and he cared for us, and he brought salvation to our hearts and lives, and he is involved in our lives. He paid the cost as well. He came to us. He paid the cost. He paid the price. We're bought with a price. It's paid in full, and Jesus paid it all. And so we see in the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus and his sacrifice for every one of us in our lives. He paid the cost of our redemption. And when we understand how much mercy we received, we are willing, I believe, the true compassion comes into our heart, and the love of God is poured out into our hearts, and we have the love of God in our hearts. And if you have the love of God in your hearts, you'll see that in the story of the Good Samaritan. We are to live as Good Samaritans. What a wonderful story it is. Let it just touch your heart and life, and I hope it blesses you. Questions to consider as the lawyer considered, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And who is my neighbor? Those two questions are answered in the parable of the Good Samaritan. What can I do to inherit eternal life? Salvation comes through confession and repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, where we respond to the call of God upon our lives, and we receive the greatest gift of salvation. But then he wants us in a relationship, and I believe that is where we will love our neighbors as ourselves. And maybe the question is not so much who is our neighbor as much as am I being neighbors? Am I neighborly to everyone? The Good Samaritan had compassion and he saw the need, but he also took action and responded as a neighbor. And let's do the same. He was willing to cross boundaries and show God's love. And at the end of the parable, Jesus said to the lawyer, "Go and do likewise." And that's how I want to end. The call for all of us this morning is go and do likewise. And you will receive eternal life, and you will have a relationship with God, and you will have the love of God in your heart that is moving you to action. And so God bless all of you in your ministry and work of the church. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our church family. Thank you for the privilege of having Bible school and a week of Bible school, and all who engaged in in working and teaching and organizing and inviting and doing the work. I pray that you would bless them and encourage them, and I pray that we would all be just rejuvenated as we end a week of Bible school. I pray that your love would go with us, be in our hearts and lives, and that we would all be able to live as Good Samaritans. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.